Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jared.
We're a couple of dudes like to sit around, drink novelty beverages, and talk a little bit about Alex Jones. Today's novelty beverage is zombie dust.
Indeed we are, Dan. Dan?
Jordan.
Dan.
Jordan, sir.
If you were furious.
Uh-huh.
At so many different things happening concurrently.
The world is upon me.
Right. much like Atlas.
God damn.
Everything hanging upon your shoulders.
Yeah.
And some random stranger just walked up to you off the street.
Right.
And was like, one, I work for Chase Bank.
Okay.
Two, I am a
shareholder in the WWE
exactly.
Network. Yes.
Do you do a podcast?
I
and
do.
If so, describe it to me.
I do, and it's about me. I know a lot about Alex Jones. This guy I know, he doesn't know anything about him, and we talk about it. That's the
there
podcast. Shit's just been nuts, and I apologize. I don't want to complain about it. I've been fucked over by Chase Bank and the WWE Network. They'd hit me with a doomsday device.
Right.
And
there you go.
I have been down for the count.
Yes. Yeah,
it's been a really terrible couple days, but everything is looking up because we're here.
You were stunned by someone who is stone cold.
Absolutely brutal.
Yeah.
But we are here, and we are going to have a great time today. Jordan, today we got an interesting podcast. I was hoping to actually use your joke, your bit intro, where you're like, this guy walks up to you, and I would be like, are you from Austin? Because then I would say,
okay.
If you're from Austin, I don't want to tell you what my podcast is
about. All right.
I would tell you
to
come June 15th to Beerland in Austin, Texas.
We have never rehearsed a bit. Why would you imagine that I would just come up with, like, do
these
we
are
have
notes.
A...
These are post
You're
notes.
Giving me notes?
Yes, for next time.
All right. All right. Okay.
I have some notes right in front
okay.
of me.
Okay. Oh, no.
I have some notes right here, and they are, Dan, say thank you to our new sponsors. Which I would like to do right now. I'd like to say
we would also like to thank you in Austin this Friday, Beerland.
I'm going to get to it.
Doors at 9.
I'm going to get to that.
10 o'clock.
We're going to talk about that a little bit more here in a second. But first, I'd like to say thank you to a new donor out there. What's going on, Dean?
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Dean.
We appreciate it. Also, I'd like to give a shout out to another new donor. Thank you so much, Bob.
I'm a policy wonk.
Bobby.
Thank you, Bob Vila, villain of the Home Improvement television series.
This old donation.
Yeah. All right. Get the fuck out of here.
If you'd like to support-
Minus one out the gate.
If you'd like to support the show, you can do so by going to knowledgefight.com, clicking support the show, and we would really appreciate it. Now, as I teased there a second ago, we are going to be in Austin, Texas this Friday.
Right.
At Beerland, 10 p.m. Doors open at 9. We'd love to see you all out there. Tickets still available. I think only at the door. They're available.
The door,
They're not available in advance. There will be seating, from what I understand.
And believe me, they'll be available.
Yeah. So today...
And once again, we are doing most of our advertising to people who already listen to the podcast and have decided whether or not to go long ago.
Yes.
So
I'm certain.
So we're great at marketing. And we are grateful to everybody who in Austin who is already kicking ass for us. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So, I wanted today, what I wanted to do is, I wanted to celebrate the city of Austin.
Yes.
And I will say that, I have found a great Austin related episode for the live show on Friday at Beerland in Texas. But I found another Austin episode.
Okay.
Austin-y episode that takes us into
Austin-y episode?
Yeah, there's some Austin.
Is that like Schaumburg is Chicago-y? Is that the kind of thing?
Sort of.
It's not
like about Red Rock or whatever.
Oh, well then I don't want to hear it!
Is that what it is? Isn't that the name of it? Redwall?
No idea.
I don't know.
Redwall was a series of books about mice fighting.
You're correct.
Called written by Brian Jakes?
You're correct.
Jacques.
But before we get to today's episode, I should say we did record an episode over the weekend that we were going to release on Monday.
Yes.
And the universe saw fit to not let that be recorded, and it got lost. And
right.
Good. It should have been.
It's really fascinating because the entire episode was...
Mostly.
Essentially about how you felt it that... What we were talking about should be ignored and that we shouldn't be doing that episode.
Mm-hmm.
Cosmically, we then did not do that episode.
We were talking about how everyone should ignore Alex's comments about the death of Anthony Bourdain.
Right.
And then, bizarrely, the episode doesn't record as if it were God saying, cut it out.
I can promise that we actually recorded the episode.
Right.
I can guarantee that.
And
this isn't some way that we're stealth saying... that you should bring.
It's not some meta bit or anything.
But we're bad at bits, let alone meta bits.
In that episode, we did cover also a little bit of the other stuff that Alex talked about on that Friday episode.
Uh-huh.
And there's one clip that I think is so important and no one is talking about that we do need to play it here at the beginning of this episode.
Yeah.
Just because this cannot be not heard by the
people. Since we recorded it last night, I can almost remember it.
So this is from the June 8th, 2018 episode of the Alex Jones Show. Alex Jones is on vacation in Hawaii, but he calls into the show a couple hours before he calls in to talk about Anthony Bourdain's death. He calls in to say this.
Alex, how refreshing is it to see a president that essentially flips the bird to the globalist at the G7 summit?
That's right. Coming up in the next segment, we will play the clip as he was going out to Marine One helicopter to take off to the G7. And he pointed out that he tried to play nice with Trudeau, he tried to play nice with Macron and others, but he tore into him and said, listen, Russia should be in the G7, back to G8. They were taken out 5 years ago
by
Obama, the globalist, whether you like it or not. This is the only place Trump's been behind on. He was ahead of it during the campaign, the Clear Alliance, that the Patriots in the Pentagon. There's bad guys there, too.
Oh,
there's three different factions, really, but there's two dominant ones. The Patriots in the Pentagon, so we should link up with Russia. They've got incredible resources, four times our landmass, more resources than even Africa. They've become a Christian nation. They've got lower taxes than us. We should link up. But geographically, we'll control the whole planet.
Yikes.
Right.
So we freaked out and screamed about this for like 10 minutes yesterday. No need to sort of recreate that.
It can't be done.
Except to say, hey, guys, there's Alex saying that he and the Patriots that he's aware of within the intelligence services want to hook up with Russia and dominate the world.
Right.
Geographically.
Yep.
Dominate the world.
That was the plan.
So that's not great.
Which, I believe we came to the conclusion that that made him a globalist.
I think dominating a globe makes one a globalist.
The only thing about that I still cannot get over is, what is the third faction in the Pentagon? What is it? So we got the Patriots, we've got one confirmed faction.
Mm-hmm.
Assumably, the other one is the globalists, or at least globalist-controlled vampires.
Globalist adjacent.
What is the third one?
The sommeliers.
The sommeliers? The wine merchants?
Yeah, the wine snobs.
See, now I feel like that's, again, a very anti-Semitic thing.
No, we got wine snobs over here.
We got wine
Patriots.
Snobs. Patriots.
Globalists.
Globalists.
Right. The two factions, the Patriots and the Globalists, do battle internationally.
Right.
And the wine snobs sit around and just laugh and like, haha, they're using the wrong cheese with that red wine. Haha, sacre bleu.
Ah, you should have brought a charcuterie.
Absolutely.
No, do they send go-between messages?
Hmm?
Like, you can trust a wine aficionado. They're so absorbed in wine that they don't care about distorting the words that you say. So
no,
is that
not
how they communicate with each other? Do they send missives?
Must. They
have
must.
They turned wine purchases into a coded language?
Absolutely.
Okay. That makes sense.
It's like...
All right.
Yeah. So, Jordan, today what we're going to be going over is the November 30th, 2014 episode of The Alex Jones Show.
Right.
It's
very Austin-y.
I'd like to see if you have any idea why I have chosen this as an Austin-y episode.
November 30th,
mm-hmm.
2014.
Right.
That was when, let's see, what happens in November 30th?
It's just after Thanksgiving.
That was probably the... Oh, no, that was the reenactment of the first Thanksgiving.
Incorrect.
When Christ was crucified?
Incorrect.
They don't. No, they do the Thanksgiving... No?
Nope.
All right.
Incorrect.
Bethlehem?
Nope.
Are you sure?
On November 28th at 2:20-something in the morning...
Okay.
A gentleman by the name of Larry McWilliams...
What?
Went on a shooting spree in Austin.
Oh, no.
And shot a ton of bullets at the police station.
Okay.
And tried to set fire to the Mexican consulate. Also shot a bunch of bullets at the federal courthouse. He was shot down by a cop eventually. He had "Let Me Die" written in marker across his chest.
Okay.
He also, in his pocket, had a copy of a book. That
Where to Hide Your Guns.
Exactly.com.
Yep.
we'll get into more detail about it later, but it was it's tied to a Christian identity supremacy group.
Sounds right.
That is very racist and anti-Semitic. They are called the Phineas Priesthood, and it's not really like a specific group. It's kind of like a loose-knit group of people who you know, you just get to call yourself a priest in this Phineas priesthood. And he had a book about them and their history in his pocket, much like as if it was Catcher in the Rye for him, which is, I mean, speaks volumes about what he was about.
Of course.
So I went and...
So they're definitely talking about Bethlehem then?
There might be some, okay, some of that. Right. You might have been more right than
I
knew.
Did they hurt anybody? Or did he hurt anybody?
No one. No,
I assume the group has probably hurt people.
No one ended up hurt. There was more property damage from what I've been able to glean.
That's kind of the most Austin-y mass shooting I can think of then. Austin is so cool, even their mass shooters are like, we don't want to hurt anybody.
I don't think he didn't want to hurt anybody.
I recognize that. But he picked the right targets, you know? He picked the big three. You go after the police station, you go after the courthouse, you gotta go after the Mexican consulate after that.
Mm-hmm. Also, our friend Art Acevedo, the then Austin police chief.
Yes.
Did speculate that there was reason to believe that the attack could have been politically motivated. an anti-government attack. That also might be linked to feelings about immigration. Being as he tried to set the Mexican consulate on fire.
Yeah. All right.
You might.
I'm a big fan of Acevedo. That seems pretty obvious. That's some good detective work. Mm-hmm. I recognize.
From Texas Monthly, shooting up the Mexican consulate shortly after President Obama issued his executive order regarding immigration does indicate a potential motive. Okay. certainly.
Potential?
He's also, if you looked over
his... That would be a wild coincidence.
If you looked over his social media, you'd find that, he had, posted a lot of really positive, stuff about Ron Paul.
Right.
In the past, so there's some sort of, connection that he had there philosophically. He also was a guy who'd been arrested and done time for robbing a bank.
Years
prior.
All right.
He tried to rob a...
What is more anti-government than that?
He tried to rob a Brinks truck, from what I've been able to find.
Wait, and a bank?
No, that was the, thing. That counts as a bank.
That does not count as a bank.
To the law, it does.
That does not count as a bank. There have to be tellers. Nah. You have to stand on the thing and shoot bullets up in the air. You gotta do the whole thing.
According to the law, it counts.
Okay.
So
I would also accept sliding a piece of paper to the teller that says, I have a gun.
Right.
Please put $100,000.
You can't slide that note to the Brinks guy. He's got a gun.
No, he's definitely got a gun.
Yeah. So this guy,
through the back door.
This guy was a mess, and he had a lot of indications that he might be the sort of guy who'd be doing this kind of stuff.
Yep.
He ended up getting shot by a cop, not too long after he went all shooty.
Yeah.
But he's an old white guy. He's a 49-year-old white guy.
All right.
And so that's going to make Alex.
Man, we still need them around.
So
if they weren't here.
Stop it. Stop it.
Oh boy.
So because the guy is an old white dude, Alex has some complicated feelings about it.
Right.
And
he should be against it. Kind of a fan.
Alex doesn't really know what to do with it, and we'll watch him spin his wheels.
Okay.
Because this is the 30th. And on the 28th, he took the day off. The 28th was a Friday. He took that off because he's like...
He was too busy masturbating to this guy.
Thanksgiving. Maybe. Maybe Thanksgiving. But he had a pre-recorded show, and it was really funny to listen to that, like what he's complaining about, knowing that morning...
There's an active shooter,
huge shooting.
There's been a white terrorist.
It's kind of funny that he's like, we're going to replay a great interview with Michael Savage. All right, bro. So here's the first clip where Alex discusses what he thinks is going on with this guy.
Already hard to believe the 30th day of November 2014 on this.
Also, one of the most offensive things I've ever heard on this show. He's playing ZZ Top to start the show. Please.
This live Sunday edition. I'm your host, Alex Jones. We'll be here as we are every Sunday, 4 to 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. I intend to open the phones up throughout last two-thirds of the transmission from the bottom of the hour forward, and I intend to try to be disciplined, which everybody knows I'm not, to go over as much news as possible. There's just so much here to talk about. I live in Austin, Texas, where a few days ago we had somebody at 2:22 a.m., we know his name, McWilliams, running around shooting up the police station, the Mexican consulate, and the federal building.
He's my hero.
And folks want to know my take on that.
He's my hero.
Well, I'll give you my take on that event. Slain Austin shooter likely had anti-government motive.
Hero.
And was against open borders. That's what they're saying is likely. I saw some online videos of him training with ninja swords and stuff, and he fits the same MO as this guy on the East Coast that killed one cop and was hunting others, who was obsessed with video games.
I have a dream.
I just think these are mentally ill people.
Okay. Okay. Cool. So that's your take on this one. He's a mentally ill guy.
Yeah. Yay.
Oh, hey, boy.
Hey, what? Why wouldn't you want him to have a gun? He already had swords.
Right.
He could have slashed up the police station. There's no stopping this
much,
guy.
So
no
much stopping this training.
Guy. Yeah. Thank God he brought a gun, because if he brought a sword, he would have had to use the ninja training. We never would have caught the guy.
Thank God the Second Amendment doesn't cover smoke bombs.
Oh, yeah.
So I would say that in present day or so, Alex doesn't like this argument of, like, they're mentally ill folks.
Yeah.
Except when he wants to use it in order to throw bombs at pharmaceuticals.
Right.
And say, like,
right.
They're all just, they're zombies on their Prozac.
Oh.
So this is an interesting way that he's already, allowed for this to be like,
right.
Hey, it doesn't matter.
And he's tossed a video game in there.
Sure.
So, hey, he played a lot of video games. You know that discount.
No, there's the other guy who he's comparing it to. He's like, these are similar guys.
Okay.
This other, white shooter.
Right.
But that is not the angle he's going to go with.
Oh.
That's just what he starts with.
He's going to go with, this guy lives what I preach.
No.
He's not going to say that.
Slightly different.
He's not going to say that word for word what this guy does is what I tell people to do.
You're not going to like this.
I'm not going to like this?
No.
I just think these are mentally ill people. That said, they're still dangerous. In fact, more dangerous because you don't really know when they're going to strike. But I want to tie that in, his so-called protest, to Ferguson. Because I think both incidences of violence are illegitimate.
No! God damn it! No, you can't even fucking do that! How do you do that? How do you fucking do that?
Oh, that's great.
That is...
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The problem is... As awful as that is, there's a certain part of my brain that's like, I never would have made that connection, man.
Why not?
You gotta give him credit where credit is due.
Why wouldn't you?
Never would I have even considered that it was possible to connect those two events. Good on you, Alex, for figuring out the single worst narrative that is humanly possible.
I don't understand why you wouldn't put those pieces together, like, in terms of...
What,
like,
do you mean, why I wouldn't put those pieces together?
Like, hey, I bet that's what Alex is going to say.
How could I possibly have put those two pieces together?
Well, you got to be considering, this is the...
Was there an active shooter that shot up the fucking Mexican consulate in Ferguson? Does Ferguson have a Mexican consulate?
No.
Why does Austin have a Mexican consulate? That was another question of mine.
It's in Texas, border state.
Well, yeah, but is Austin on the border?
No, not quite, no.
Okay.
But no.
All right, never mind.
Dude, calm down. You should 100% have seen that coming, and I think
can't
it's very
imagine
it's irresponsible
why.
Of you that
why
you,
would I have seen that coming?
Because it's
what are the similarities?
It's the end of November 2014. Alex is desperate to discredit the situation in Ferguson,
right?
Because it does not look good,
right?
We have a situation where not too long before where we're at right now, I wish I had the exact date. The policeman who shot Michael Brown was acquitted.
Right.
I wish I had the
right.
Darren Wilson was acquitted. I don't have the right date here. I don't have the exact date.
So
but it's
of
right
course,
around then. So he's
of course I should have obviously made the connection that Alex would make a negative connection to a white man murdering a black person.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And then everybody being rightfully outraged by that. To a white man shooting up a police station and
the
Mexican consulate, and that of course makes sense.
Well, see, this is a thing where Alex has to take what's in front of him in his own city is an act of white supremacist terror,
right.
Basically.
So you compare it to the most recent act of white supremacist terror.
Well, the
state sponsored
well, no,
white supremacist
no,
terror.
You compare it to the reaction to the states.
Nah, see, that doesn't make sense to me.
No, it makes perfect sense if you're going from an Alex perspective.
Right.
Because you need to...
You just made me feel really good, even after all this time.
What?
I can't see things through Alex's eyes.
Oh, and I'd make myself feel terrible.
Yeah, yeah. You should feel awful if you saw that coming.
Well, because you need to look at it like...
You've gone native, Dan.
I'm willing to throw this guy under the bus, this white dude under the bus.
Right, even though he's my guy.
But the only way I'm going to do that is if on the way out I can tie him to legitimate protest.
Right.
That, you know, might have involved a little bit of looting here and there. But that wasn't the entire protest.
Nah.
That wasn't even most of it.
Don't care.
That
wasn't most of that shit should have burned down.
Well, there's an argument to be made there.
Yeah.
You know, who cares? The issue is you take white terrorism and black protest.
Right.
And you conflate the two, and all of a sudden you can complain about both of them in the same way and appear that you're rising above the racial tension. And he's like, oh, they're all just trying to get us to fight with each other when clearly deranged lunatic shot up a bunch of police federal buildings, tried to burn down the Mexican consulate. Like, nah, this is just protest.
God, we could go line by line. Everything that that guy did, Alex suggested that people should do.
Oh, yeah, to a certain extent, I'm sure he did.
But- No. I bet word for word.
Mm-hmm.
I guarantee that if we went through, I would never force you to do all this work. But if you went through everything that Alex Jones said from like 2003 to
fuck the Mexican consulate,
the day before that, you would probably get, sooner or later, you would get like, you should shoot up the police station. Those courthouses need to be shot up. That Mexican consulate, who knows what they're doing there? Shoot it.
I got a real bone to pick with the Mexican consulate. Got a bad...
You know what? Who doesn't?
Got a bad feeling about those people.
I'm very pro-immigration, but that Mexican consulate, that's worse than the DMV.
No doubt.
I tried to get my Mexican citizenship papers there, and they were like, you're not. It was very difficult.
So Alex is operating on a bunch of real hard and fast sources.
Right. Imaginary.
There's a lot of real good information.
Imaginary.
So let's jump into that.
And I got a lot of heat from the, quote, black community.
Never like that. I never like that.
Shouldn't say, quote, community.
I don't like that.
Last week for criticizing shooting at police and firefighters and shooting up their vehicles and shooting two cops and FBI agents got shot.
Real quick about those FBI agents. This is from the CNBC article about that. Quote, two FBI agents were shot at a barricaded home just miles from the protest-wrecked St. Louis suburb of Ferguson early Wednesday, police said. Both suffered non-threatening injuries after the shooting in North St. Louis County. The incident occurred around 3:15 a.m. local time. Authorities in St. Louis County have been dealing with violent protests after a grand jury decided not to indict Ferguson police officer Darren Wilson over the fatal shooting of unarmed teen Michael Brown. It was not immediately clear whether the shooting was connected to the unrest. So it's probably a completely unrelated thing at the time that Alex is able to report on it.
Right.
So he's just relating things that he has no business. It's just the same city.
How far away were they from Ferguson's Mexican consulate?
That's a great question.
That's a great question. Why don't the cops ever investigate that?
I don't know.
All sorts of stuff happened. That makes protesting look bad.
Mm.
And Time Magazine came out and said, violent riots necessary, close quote.
That is not a quote. You should not be allowed to use closed quote when you're not quoting. This was an article in Time Magazine. That was called, violent protest or violent riots are necessary. The headline was in defense of rioting.
Right.
And
like what Martin Luther King Jr. wrote.
Yeah. And I'll read you a bit of that article that Alex doesn't want to deal with because he's never read it.
I assume they probably quote MLK's Letters from a Burning
Man. No, actually they don't. They could have.
Yeah, they could have really gone hard on that.
Yeah, they don't. It
seems like an obvious way to go.
No, it's just more of a discussion of the realities in our modern time. And
right.
And,
do you mean that violent protest is necessary?
And about how like the Tea Party, the Boston Tea Party, was seen the way it is because we won. And rioting has only ever looked bad when it's the group that doesn't
win. Who won? Protesting always looks bad. to people who really don't like the content of what the protest is about.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, yeah.
It's not, it's just, it's not the right way to do things, right. Dan. It's not the right way is to just accept it that you're gonna get fucked in the ass for the rest of your life and for the rest of your children's lives.
Sure.
And really for the rest of America's life. That's the right way to go about protesting, Dan.
Sure, sure. So, I don't want to dive too deep into that because we will get into it in a little bit. But for now, I want Alex to get back to these headlines because he's got some, like, he's just got barn burners of headlines. And keep in mind, some of these are the same story, but a link from CNN and a link from Time Magazine.
All right.
That sort of thing. All so, right. like, he goes.
Is there ever not much to talk? He always opens up, oh, we got so much to talk about. Does he ever open up with, like,
guys, slow news?
Not a lot going on today, guys. Globalists, I'm going to talk about demons.
Globalists are taking an off day. No, everything is always intense.
Okay.
Well, we're going to look at this headline. Time Magazine columnist, violent riots necessary. That's from Time Magazine.
It's not.
Also, CNN is lying when they say Ferguson protesters were peaceful.
That's an InfoWars article.
Another key report.
From InfoWars Time Magazine.
Feds enable arsonists. Target Oath Keepers protecting Ferguson businesses.
Another
it's all on video. Exclusive to InfoWars Nightly News last Friday night.
So that was an article about how the brave, brave Oath Keepers are protecting St. Louis businesses, and they're being attacked by the horrible protesters.
Can
there.
I get a list of things that the Oath Keepers have protected?
Well, I don't want to talk about that right now.
Fair enough.
But what I do want to talk about is Alex in the last clip before this was talking about how there's so much going on involving like the St. Louis situation in Ferguson. And this isn't.
And it's all about how white people are great.
This is not going to be a full episode where we talk about the realities of Ferguson. The other people have done much better jobs of that than we ever will.
I also think we've done that. Before.
I don't think we have entirely.
You don't think? I don't think we have entirely either.
But when Alex brings up the Oath Keepers, it's really difficult for me not to point out that during the entire conflagration with Ferguson, policeman Dan Page was relieved of duty in St. Louis after he was caught on camera at an Oath Keepers meeting rattling off horribly racist, homophobic nonsense.
What? In the police?
Yeah.
There was a white supremacist there?
He said that there are at least 4 sodomites on the Supreme Court and called Barack Obama our,
which 4?
Our quote, undocumented president from Kenya.
Who isn't?
Also, later, when Don Lemon...
Seriously, which 4 on the Supreme Court?
When Don Lemon was which in 4? Ferguson covering the protests for CNN,
yeah.
This cop, Dan Page, physically assaulted him
on
camera.
Well, he's a cop. What else are we paying him
Don
for?
Don Lemon's black.
Yeah. Hey, what else are we paying him for?
Right. So that was a guy who's a part of the Oath Keepers.
Right.
So that's kind of a bit of the mentality they got.
Hey, do you know what they do, though? And you got to give them this. They keep their oaths.
Sure. To be racist as shit.
Exactly.
Now, also.
Admittedly, their oaths are not hard to keep.
If you think that this is an isolated incident, during the same time, policeman Ray Albers of the St. Anne Police Department was suspended after video came out of him pointing his semi-automatic service rifle at peaceful protesters and screaming shit at them like, quote, I will fucking kill you.
Oh, man. What? There's a fascist in the police office?
Very
come
strange.
On.
Strange behavior.
Come on.
Also.
Where would you even find those guys?
Also, policeman Matthew Papert, who was on patrol during the Ferguson protests, would end up being suspended for posting stuff on Facebook like, quote, these protesters should have been put down like a rabid dog the first night, and quote, where is a Muslim with a backpack when you need him?
I guess that's so pro Muslim.
It does indicate that he thinks they have utility.
I mean, hey, at least he's 1 for 2 in that statement.
Also, everybody talks about, and rightfully so, I don't think it's wrong to talk about the issue of Michael Brown. But it would be really remiss to not point out that during the period between Michael Brown's murder and the acquittal of Darren Wilson, many other unarmed black men in St. Louis and the surrounding areas were murdered by the police.
Yeah.
Not just to name a few, Kajemi Powell and Von Derrett Myers Jr. were both 2 unarmed men Myers actually had a sandwich in his hand, so that could be that could be seen as
hey, great,
pretty terrible.
Great,
so I
great,
mean,
guys,
there and there's
good
a,
job, America.
And there's a long, long history in Ferguson that goes back beyond this. I believe the Dollop did a great episode covering that. So if you want to learn more about that,
from the
check that out.
Jump.
So there's this, like, there's a much more like in-depth situation going on there, and his idea of like these poor oath keepers trying to protect a business,
Do we need 49-year-old white men?
Well, but here's...
Are we...
You,
just saying.
That situation worked itself out in some ways. I mean, I don't mean to belittle, like, the danger of that. Like, he could have really killed a lot of people. And he was motivated in a very negative direction. We're talking about the... We're back to McWilliams.
Yeah.
But that, you know...
Yeah, the answer is no. The answer is honestly no. There's no, look, I'm not saying that there should be some sort of government final solution on white men over the age of 40. I'm not saying that that's a good idea.
Again,
what I am saying is that there is no argument to the fact that we would be better off without them.
I'm sorry, bro.
There's no reasonable argument.
I'm sorry, bro. This bit has been 86'd.
All right. All right.
Alex, at this point.
Well, clearly I'm going to stop doing it.
Sure. at this point in the show, Alex has sort of made his point, and that is that he views literal white terrorism as being the same as black protest.
Right.
Which is interesting. It's not. It's not interesting. It's very expected from Alex.
Yeah.
But.
Now that I'm there, I gotcha.
He's made his point, and I respect that he's been concise. Because at this point, it's not very far into the episode. It's maybe 10 minutes in or something like that.
Right. So he nailed it, and he can avoid it from here on out.
And so now he wants to try and approach from a different direction.
So if he keeps talking about this, though, eventually he's going to be like, I'm really a big fan of this white terrorist, right? Like, the more he talks about it, the more it's going to sneak through the little cracks in his rhetoric.
Let's see.
Globalists exploit ISIS threat to empower UN. We're going to talk about the UN today. I want to tie Black Friday in.
Gotta.
To kind of the
not white
lottery
Friday.
Ticket mentality that I see in the culture out there.
Called White Friday.
So
would he be better? Would he be happier if it was called White Friday?
Probably.
I think he would be.
So what do you think he's talking about? I'm going to try and tie in Black Friday.
Okay. He's going to try and tie in Black Friday. That is, so the globalists lower those prices so much to make sure that people will trample over each other and remain divided in order to keep us from fighting against the globalists.
Interesting theory.
That the social engineers are using to great effect. Obama was a big lottery ticket to the Democrats. They thought they were going to get this big super deal putting him to office, free gas, free cars, free homes. You've seen and heard the clips. Oh, thank you, Mr. President. I don't have to worry about my gas, my car, my home. It'll all be free. And he'd say, that's right. That's right. You're going to get that.
Good impression.
Wouldn't say, sorry, we can't take from somebody and give to you to that level. So we're going to tie that into Black Friday because here's the deal. We have the articles up on Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com, but anybody can just search the term Black Friday as a fraud, and you'll get mainline news admitting it's some of the worst deals of the year.
Wait, what? Wait, hold on. Are we now pivoting to shopping tips? Because I think we are. He does 10 minutes. Talking about this shooting and then pivots to Black Friday is an inside job.
All right. So,
yeah,
white terrorism, it's Ferguson's fault, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
Black Friday,
right.
Obviously, he's just associating whatever it is that's on his mind. If it was Christmas, he would have been like commercializing Christmas. If it was Easter, he would have been like, we've got our Easter sales. Like, he would have just done whatever is regional or like,
I think he's just mad.
It's like the date.
He's just mad because he had to go shopping the other day, you know, or
whatever. Yeah,
he had to go
right.
get gifts for his kids and he's
right.
pissed off about
right,
it.
Right. Well, he doesn't like buying things for other people.
It does end up being like a 5-minute rant on the show. It goes on quite a while.
About Black Friday.
Yeah.
Okay.
When the state cuts off sales tax, that is, you can
Black
believe
Friday
that's
is
a good
white terrorism.
Shop.
So that makes sense. Yeah, that makes sense.
For stuff you need. I'm not against commerce and sales. That's what a vibrant economy has. I'm not against consumerism for quality, but mindless consumerism, I'm totally against. And that's what Black Friday is. As a merchant, as someone that sells and develops products very successfully, I know what specials and deals are. And Black Friday is always very upsetting because the scam with Walmart and Target and the rest of them is they raise the prices the week before. They drop them that day, and you don't get a discount. We don't do that at InfoWarsLife.com, InfoWarsStore.com, whether it's books, T-shirts, high-quality supplements, water filters.
Bad pivot, baby! The whole thing is an ad pivot. That's pretty impressive.
That is the shoots and ladders performance of a lifetime.
Realistically,
to get from white terrorism to Ferguson is bad, but not in the way you think. It's bad against white people.
But I don't think that hinged.
And then, like, I don't think, then to Black Friday.
I think that those are two standalone pivots. Because you've got the pivot from white terrorism to Ferguson, and then you've got the pivot from Black Friday's an inside job to, hey, we love selling things.
It's not that he's against consumerism.
Loves it.
He's against consumerism, just the mindless type.
Right.
He likes people who are consumerist for
thoughtful
quality.
Consumerism.
Absolutely. You got to think about it before you buy.
Right.
What?
I don't know. Also, by the way, generally.
I love imaginary rules that just pop up. Okay. No. This behavior that I ostensibly condemn. Mm. Yes. It is still terrible, but not the way I do it. The Bible is all about those, like, don't lie. But not the way I lie.
Not
the way you lie.
You're a smooth liar.
Yeah. It's those white lies. You know, that's no big deal. White means good lies. Good lies.
Also,
done.
Generally, sales are, like, determined based off MSRP, not off what the price was last week.
I know.
But it's a good way to make people scared of merchants.
As two people who put out quality products.
So many.
Like, that one button we made.
We have two shirts. We have two physically two shirts.
Yes. Yeah. What else do we got? Also, those shirts were not made, they were a gift made by a wonderful man.
Yeah, that's not commerce.
Yeah, we're bad at that. That could be interstate commerce.
I did send my shirt to Texas.
Did we barter?
No. Guys, I don't know. Let's just jump, to this next clip.
Let's do it.
Alex has now successfully done this. Kerry Strug level gymnastic.
I was about to go. Yeah.
Like,
well done.
Kind of.
I was going to go with acrobatic, but yeah, nice.
Just amazing.
Yeah.
Work of art.
Yeah.
Ad pivot. And now he gets back to the main issue at hand, which is, of course, this shooting that happened in Austin, because he lives in Austin. It's his responsibility to talk about it. But you'll see over and over again as we go through the episode, he can't talk about it without bringing up Ferguson. It's the only thing that he can do. It's pathetic.
I'm going to really get serious and get focused here, because to me, the guy that shot up the police station and the Mexican consulate in the federal building is really no different, the white guy,
white,
than the predominantly black people led by Democratic Party operatives on record. I mean, that's who's calling for the violence, communist groups and others, to go out and burn down black neighborhoods in protest. And then if you're against burning down a black neighborhood in protest, whether you're right or wrong, I think Mr. Brown's the wrong guy to protest about. I think he's a thug from the evidence, and the cop told the truth.
But to be
while trying to decry the Democratic Party's co-option of these peaceful protests and turning them into a racist attack meant to divide us, even in the middle of doing that, he's still got to be racist as fuck.
Now might not
just gotta do it.
Now might not be the time to show you this cover.
Two silver dollars at cost for $72. Holy shit!
Oh no,
that is an amazing deal.
This is back when Midas resources existed. No, this is a copy of InfoWars magazine that so kindly got for us by listener Keegan. Look at the cover of that bitch.
Great,
yeah,
great.
Mm.
So. Okay. All right.
For everyone watching out there, this is the cover of the InfoWars magazine. It's got George Zimmerman and Trayvon Martin as a half and half of the same face with the words divide and conquer under it as if to suggest that murderer and victim are the same.
Right.
Which is kind of like, I mean, this is where he's at. But he's not like this when a white person is the victim. He's never
wait,
like that.
Wait, what?
Like Katie Steinle here, he's made a cottage industry out of demonizing immigrants because of this accidental death of a white woman at the, pains me even to say at the hands of a Mexican gentleman.
Right.
Because it was an errant shot that accidentally went off and bounced off the concrete and hit her. It was, there's no intention there. So, like, this is what, I mean, this is just, it's hard to take him at all seriously. You know what I mean? It's just like, when you're saying that Michael Brown is a thug and you think that the police didn't lie and he acted responsibly, I know where you're coming from, bro. And it's the same place, probably.
Where would he be coming from?
Yeah, is McWilliams.
No. It's evidence-based, right?
Evidence.
Like, he saw the video. And evidentiary. There's just no other way to take it.
Yeah. Oh, boy. So,
That's why my favorite articles to read are ones written by people who are like, we need to understand these people. They don't like being called racists because racist is a bad word.
Right.
And you're like, oh no. Are they? How could you prove it? How could you prove this racism? They don't like that label, Dan. You can't tell them that they're racist.
I wouldn't.
It's so offensive. I don't.
I wouldn't like it either.
Go fuck yourself.
I don't like the label cross-eye either, but guess
right.
what?
Bleh.
The shoe fits.
Might be.
And that's not even something I did to, that I'm choosing.
Right.
To do.
Right.
People like Alex Jones, you gotta wear that racist
suck it up.
Label.
If,
buddy.
Look, if that's what you want to do, then you just own it.
If you want to put out a magazine with that cover.
Yeah. Then just call yourself a white nationalist magazine.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
You love
just
Ron
do
Paul
it.
Already.
They love white nationalists. Just join in. And at this point, with Alex's dwindling numbers all across the board, his best bet is to just push all his chips into
why
the white
not?
Nationalist corner, yeah. You know? Like, he's not going to have...
all in.
Yeah, he's not going to have crossover appeal at any point in time anymore.
No. Also, something we went over in the last episode. In the last year, Alex Jones, if you go to Alexa.com, the internet statistic ranking site, he has dropped in the last year 1,000 ranks in terms of his position as a website.
They're expanding, though.
He went from 3,000, 3,200 or so.
Something like
3,200
that.
3,200
to 4,100.
Yep,
yeah.
To 4,100
yeah.
in the last year. That's uncanny. That's a terrible drop.
It's a weird time for that.
Yeah, so he should just double down and just
right?
fucking...
Just, yeah. What, he's going to wind up gaining listeners.
Yeah, instead he just loses listeners on both ends. He loses
right.
normal people,
right.
and then he loses the actual hardcore bigots because they're like, you're not hardcore
exactly.
enough.
Exactly.
I'm going to David Duke.
Right.
So,
and it would also make our job very different because then finally everybody in the, you know, right wing watchosphere will be like, oh, we can just discount him. He's a white nationalist. Fuck off.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. So, Alex, I would like to tell you now at this point why he's always right about everything.
Because of the
sources. Welcome back, my friends. The reason I have what a lot of folks call an uncanny grasp on events and predictions is really no secret at all. Those that don't know history are doomed to repeat it. And I have studied history.
So I have been able to glean that most of his understanding from history.
Did you say gleam?
Glean.
Okay. I just want to double check.
I might have accidentally said gleam.
No, I just always have a...
I might have.
Like, I have a weird thing about those, like, you just get just a little bit wrong, like take it for granted.
Granted instead of
Yeah.
I accept...
That's a weird thing. I might do that myself all the time.
I accept the possibility I might have said gleam. But...
Have you always said gleam?
No. Okay. I've gleaned the idea...
Because you may be one of the fey folk who use gleams to mask their
the cube
pointy
they
ears.
Gleam the cube?
No.
Gleam the cube?
They're fey. They're fairies. They
I don't
live
care.
In the Like in A Midsummer Night's Dream.
I'm going to leave you hanging. Enjoy it. So I've deduced.
Yeah.
Got some fun with that one.
I'm enjoying myself immensely.
So I've figured out that most of Alex Jones's history, understanding, he says that he's read 90 books about Nazis and
right.
all these books about the Civil War. Most of it actually just comes from like an undercover conspiracy
yep.
and Nazi propaganda, as demonstrated by this next clip.
The American Revolution became the model of freedom worldwide.
Nope.
Not because we were perfect, not because we didn't, have some problems. But because markedly after the 7-year war that started in 1776 and the final ratification years later in 1798 of the Bill of Rights, it created the greatest level of freedom comparatively in the time they were living that anyone had ever seen in the world. And so America became the revolutionary idea. And in British newspapers and in Russian newspapers and Japanese newspapers, the elites openly bemoaned the American system, they called it, and the model by the 1830s, saying we can't compete with people getting to keep 90% of their money. We can't compete with low regulations. We can't compete without a class
Child
system.
Labor.
We need
slavery.
Monopolies.
We can't compete without slavery.
We need
slavery.
To finance powerful combines in the U.S. to take it over. You see the rise of J.P. Morgan, the Rockefellers, all financed by the Dutch royal family, the British royal family, and by the Rothschilds. I
we
mean,
should
go
probably
look it up.
Regulate
That's mainline
that somehow.
History. The robber barons, the Rothschilds, all of it.
If we they were
the
regulated.
Rothschilds in Europe, if they wanted your country, they would just finance some nearby dictator to invade you. And they didn't care if they lost because they would finance the other opposition.
Okay.
Right. So I think the problem is clear. That is people having too much wealth. So we should do something about that, right?
There's another problem, and that is like all that's based on pseudo history and lore that so accurately has declared that's what he believes in. A lot of that history does come from his Undercollet conspiracy world, we'll be dealing with in great detail.
Wasn't
shortly.
The Haitian Revolution well before the United States?
It wasn't the model.
Well, that's because everybody was free at the end of it.
Not a good model. Terrible model.
That's right. It was a bad model. I apologize.
If you want the greatest amount of freedom that will get coverage
enslaved.
In Japanese
yeah.
newspapers.
Pre-Meiji Restoration Japanese newspapers.
You need to have complete freedom.
Right,
you
right.
You need to have
of
almost
Naturally.
Selective freedom.
I can't imagine for whom.
Right. So that's a little bit, that's another indication to me that I'm like, maybe you don't have a great grasp on history. Maybe
no,
you
he's
don't.
Read 60 books that are filled with lies.
I would say that it is uncanny. I would say that. So at this point, Alex Jones wants to ask this is the guiding question of the show.
Right.
Were he to be a not lunatic person?
If he were not to be.
Right. If that were twere the case,
right,
he would open up the phone lines and like have a reasonable conversation about this,
right.
But as soon as I heard him ask this guiding question, I said to myself, "Ain't no goddamn way he's answering that question."
Okay, let's hear it.
What is legitimate rebellion? What is legitimate revolution?
Long pause.
And I think we should have this topic all throughout the week, not just on this Sunday show, because this is such a big issue.
Sure. You're not going to cover this at all, and I'm going to guess in your next episode you're not going to cover it either.
What is legitimate revolution, Dan?
I feel like it's like the Supreme Court definition of pornography.
I know it when I see it. All right.
I take everything on a case-by-case basis.
Okay.
Because there's a lot of circumstantial stuff cross-culturally that maybe applies to us, doesn't apply to other folk, in terms of the historical basis of our society.
What's your favorite revolution?
Probably the revolution of the Japanese newspaper system. circa.
Oh man, I remember that.
1794.
No, my favorite. That was an amazing musical. It was called The Japanese Newsies. Right.
Yeah.
It was great.
Japanese-ies.
That sounds not good.
It's a portmanteau, but it doesn't feel good.
It doesn't sound good.
Doesn't feel good coming out of your mouth.
I almost said it, and I was like, I don't think I will.
I could defend it in a court of law.
I think so too. It just
were
doesn't...
I put on trial.
I would gleam all the information from that.
What's a legitimate rebellion to you?
Boxer. I'm actually going to go with whiskey.
All right.
I'm going to go with the whiskey rebellion. I felt like that one was pretty good.
I'm fine with it. I don't know. I also think that my standard for what a legitimate rebellion is probably falls drastically lower than Alex's.
Yeah.
Because I believe that, like, I think that it's hard to say what, like, it's very complicated. Because later in this episode, I didn't keep it in because Alex doesn't respond to his caller who says it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, if he had responded in any way, I would have kept this clip in. But he does ask a caller, what's a legitimate reason? Like, what's a final straw for you?
Yeah.
And the caller says, if I see the government rounding people up, then it's time. That's the final straw.
Oh, so now he's finally doing it.
Well,
now he has decided that it is the final straw. 2017, when the immigration policy was enacted, he saw that the government was rounding people up, and he decided that was my breaking point.
See,
and so he has absolutely, I'm sure, confirmed that he will
stop doing this because I don't know who this caller was.
I'm not worried
about
it. And
that's the reason why I didn't keep it in. It's because it's the caller saying it, and Alex just moves on to another topic after the caller says
right.
that. If Alex had said, yes, absolutely, that is a line in the sand, I would have kept it in and been like,
yeah.
Hey, look at this dickhole.
But
since he didn't respond, I don't want to put his caller's words on him. Although I would assume that back then he would say that that's a principle of his. Because he lies about FEMA camps all the time.
But here's
you would think that.
Here's the other thing.
What we
know, though, what we are aware of now is that is not our threshold for revolution.
Turns out it's not.
Yeah. Turns out that if the government
is
rounding people, it like for me,
yeah.
Like I would love, it should be, we should be revolutioning. The government is rounding up people,
yeah.
Separating them from their families. The fucking police are murdering people. All of our institutions are fucking destroyed. They are left in shambles. This is perfect revolution time.
Yeah.
This is when we should be revolutioning.
Yeah.
And it turns out that I'm too much of a pussy. I'm waiting for other people to revolution. I want to join in. But I'm not going to be the guy to throw the first fucking stone. It's pathetic. I hate myself for this.
It's a complicated thing, and I don't.
Right?
Yeah, but the reason that I don't agree with you, and I feel kind of shitty that I don't agree with you, is that I still don't think that that's the right way to deal with it.
Right.
I still think that what you're going to end up doing in that case is making things worse for the people who are marginalized.
Right. We're going to be French revolutioning.
Well, I think.
And that's an unfortunate.
I think if you have.
But we would get to behead some rich people.
You and I are what I would describe as, even though we're, especially me, pretty damn poor, fairly bougie white, young males.
Right.
I don't think that we are in a very, troubled position.
No, of course not.
So if we were to go and, let's say, try and organize or go weathermen on people's asses and blow up an unoccupied building or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
In an attempt to bring awareness to the plight of people who are being victimized by ICE, there's a really decent chance that all that would end up happening is radicalizing more people in ICE
right.
and making the situation
right.
way worse. I don't know what the right solution is. I don't begrudge people who think that, like, we gotta get hoorah or whatever.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I still think the courts conceivably are the right way to go about things.
No, I think we're fucked on the courts.
Might be able to turn things around.
I think we're fucked
know.
On the courts. I think my feelings are a general strike.
That's not a bad idea.
We're not trying to overthrow the government. We're
right.
just saying you're fucking up so much, we're gonna fuck up your shit.
I think it'd be
interesting. We're finally going to fuck up your shit.
Well, because that would be sort of a larger scale version of, like, blocking traffic, what have
yeah.
you, slowing down
yeah.
the city. Yeah. I don't know. I think
if rich people are going to control the government, then fuck rich people. We're going to fuck with your bottom line, I guess. I don't know.
I think there's a good in-between, and I just, I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't either.
Anyways, let's start one.
So, at this point, Alex has a something that I love so much, and that is a shot and a chaser here on this. Here's the shot where Alex is getting petty coming in from a commercial break.
InfoWars, powered by truth. All right, ladies and gentlemen. You may have heard that before. I've been saying it about 15 years. Another talk show host now uses that term, which is fine with me. It's just that when people then rip off what you're doing, then people think you're ripping them off. So you got to say, no, I've been saying InfoWars.com is powered by truth since 1996. Powered by truth. InfoWars.com.
So that's the shot.
Yep. Yep.
You take that little bit of tequila.
Yep.
And here comes that lime.
Here is Time Magazine on Friday.
Good work.
I just ripped off Rush Limbaugh right there. Ferguson, end of... I always love that. That's got the article right here.
So, 2 minutes later, he jostles some paper. He's like, oh, I just ripped off Rush Limbaugh by jostling paper around. After he's complaining about someone ripping him off, saying, powered by truth.
Yeah.
I Googled it. I couldn't figure out. I'm sure he's talking about Glenn Beck, but I couldn't figure out who he was talking
about who said they were powered by truth.
Yeah. Probably was a one off.
You know what? It might not be a good idea to say powered by truth, because that kind of suggests the same way that, things are powered by gasoline insofar as you burn it and transform it into something that is destroying the planet.
Yeah. So he's got that paper.
Yep.
He's ripping off Rush.
Shaking it.
He's ripping off Rush.
Great Foley work.
Which I'm sure he's done before this, but I like to imagine that this is the canonical beginning of the paper.
All right.
It's not, but, so here we go. Let's get to these headlines.
That's got the article right here.
Yep.
Ferguson in defense of rioting.
That's by Time Magazine.
Darlena Cunha.
The way he says that
name is.
It's not what the name sounds like, but even like no matter what, there's a racism in the way he says that name, like as if it's a question.
Yeah.
You know,
is it Cunha?
Cunha, I believe.
So like Cunha or?
Cunha is probably the correct pronunciation.
Cunha sounds right. Yeah.
I'm not saying that that's not the right pronunciation.
Right.
It's the way he was like, right. What?
Right, right.
Isn't this a name?
In the same way that he says white and it makes you feel uncomfortable.
Yes, 100%.
Cunha is, no thanks. Hard pass.
And she goes on to just say it's wonderful, basically. Okay. Here's another one. Time Magazine columnist, violent riots necessary, close quote. Bunch of other garbage. I'm not going to. Here's one out of CNN. CNN is lying when they say Ferguson protests were, quote, peaceful. We have the video clip. I mean, I'm just going to vomit.
Those aren't articles from CNN or any new articles. That's just InfoWars coverage of other articles. So now, back to this Time article, Time Magazine article that Alex is saying goes on to just say violent rioting is wonderful.
Yeah.
And she's for it.
Also, that's great analysis right there.
Right. I mean, you'd expect him to actually get into the arguments, the nuance of it, instead of just misrepresenting the headline and then lying about what's in the body of it.
It's actually, you know what? We could just do that.
No.
Like in reality, all we would be like, look, this InfoWars clip, I mean, basically all he says is he's racist.
Well, I mean, that might be accurate.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
So here's from this article, because Alex doesn't want to get into it. Let's discuss it a little. Quote, when a police officer shoots a young unarmed black man in the streets, then does not face indictment.
Murders. Let's not say shoots.
I'm just reading the text on the
page. I know. You're quoting it.
Anger in the community is inevitable. It's what we do with that anger that counts. In such a case, is rioting so wrong? Riots are a necessary part of the evolution of society. Unfortunately, we do not live in a universal utopia where people have the basic human rights they deserve simply for existing. Until we get there, the legitimate frustration, sorrow, and pain of the marginalized voices will boil over, spilling out into our streets. As, quote, normal citizens watch the events of Ferguson unfurl on their television screens and Twitter feeds, there's a lot of head-shaking, finger-pointing, and privileged explanation going on. We wish to seclude the incident and the people involved, to separate it from our history as a nation, to dehumanize the change agents because of their bad and sometimes violent decisions. because if we can separate the underlying racial tensions that clearly exist in our country from the looting and the rioting of select individuals, we can continue to ignore the problem. I would put forth that peaceful protesting is a luxury of those already in mainstream culture, those who can be assured their voices will be heard without violence, those who can afford to wait for the change they want. I risk sounding racist, but if this was a white kid, there would be no riot. Another person wrote on the Tea Party page. History shows us that blacks in this country are more apt to riot than any other population. They are stirred up by racist black people and set out to cause problems. End of story. So that's a post that she is referencing from a Tea Party page.
Yeah.
Sounds a lot
yep.
like Alex.
Yep.
Blacks in this country are more apt to riot because they are one of the populations.
The more oppressed?
They're one of the populations here who still need to. In the case of the 1992 riots about Rodney King, 30 years of black people trying to talk about their struggles of racial profiling and muted but still vastly unfair treatment came to a boil. Sometimes enough is simply too much. And after that catalyst event, the landscape of Southern California changed, and nationally police forces take note. At no point in the article does she say that violent rioting is good or that rioting is good.
Right.
It just goes to discuss the underlying causes and what's going on here, the conversation that Alex Jones is unwilling to engage in.
She explains why it is a reasonable thought. It is not an irrational thought.
Well, yeah.
It would be irrational if white people rioted over anything, really.
Yeah.
That's an irrational thought.
Right.
If you've been oppressed for always, if you are being murdered by the cops who are ostensibly there to protect you, time to riot.
Well, and it's another.
It's not that I'm advocating it. It's that it's like that's a totally reasonable thought.
It's another thing too. I think if like it wasn't after. The other thing is we have to even take this away from like it being a riot. You know,
It wasn't even that.
Right.
Also, you also have to add in the fact that the same things they are saying now about how this isn't the right way to do it and all that bullshit, they said about Colin Kaepernick kneeling. It doesn't matter how severe it gets.
No.
What does it matter if you riot if they're going to say the same thing if you peacefully protest?
Yeah, the bottom line is always sit down.
Yeah, exactly.
Just sit down, shut up.
Hey, wait your turn.
Right.
Wait your turn that's never coming.
Right. So I read that because I think it's important, and I don't know if everybody has read that article or will go read it. I think some of that is important to know that this is the article that Alex refuses to read and is misrepresenting in service of trying to tie the situation in Ferguson to this dumb white supremacist.
Still can't believe he's trying
who
to do
tried
that.
To set fire to the Mexican consulate at 2 a.m. and was not drunk, had a serious, like, legit plan. Had his guns, had a getaway car. He had laid out his funeral clothes at home with a note. He'd left a bag of food for his pets on his neighbor's door that said, you know, you can tell the FBI you didn't know anything. No one knows about this.
Great.
Like that sort of shit. So like he had his bases covered.
Right.
Like this guy, this was not like I'm drunk at 2 a.m. I'm going to set the Mexican consulate on fire. Cause, I don't know. I don't like.
Yeah. Cause X, Mexico. Y, or Z.
Right.
Yeah.
So
blah.
At this point in the show, Alex has proffered the question earlier. He's presented, what is the time? What is a legitimate revolution?
Yes.
And he gives a pretty narrow version of that.
I believe it's actually a minor increase in tariffs on tea. That's the correct time to...
No, he gives a pretty opposite answer that is very narrow.
Okay.
When is it legitimate to get violent? Well, I'll tell you when
Tuesday.
It is. When you're under attack, and let's say you're a Ukrainian in 1935.
Very specific.
And the Leninists are raping your wives, taking you to slave labor camps, disappearing people. They're invaded your country. They're dragging you away. It's clearly tyranny. You've got a right and a duty to defend yourself. Nazi Germany, 1943. Somebody's coming down to the basement where you're hiding to take you to a concentration camp. You have a right and duty to defend yourself.
This is 2014, right?
Yes.
So say you're Ukrainian.
70 years in the past.
Say you're Ukrainian. Perhaps in your present.
Oh, no, no, he's, no, 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 no.
In your current existence.
No, 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 no. Alex is totally.
Why did he pick Ukrainian then?
Because.
There's only other reason, there's only one other reason to have Ukrainian on Ukrainian.
Because he's.
The Ukraine on your mind.
He's totally cool with that.
I know he's totally cool with that.
He also.
That's why it's weird to me that he picked Ukraine specifically.
Of course. Also, by the way, because we're doing, 2018 is, Soros Watch 18.
Right.
Cause
we're right on time.
As of November 30th, 2014.
No Soros?
Soros is in play.
Oh, he is in play.
Yes. 100%. Okay. He's one of the villains.
Okay.
He's one of the big, big bad guys.
So somewhere between 2009 and 2014.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha.
Which, unfortunately, does not narrow anything down in
not
terms of my suspicion.
Not a lot.
Because those are the 2 years that are of interest. But at least we know it's by 2014. Anyway, I would say that this next clip is redundant, perhaps, but let's listen to it anyway.
Now, this guy was white.
White!
What's his name? 49-year-old Larry Stephen McWilliams.
McWilliams.
Now, am I going to get accused of being anti-white? Because I support the police killing him when he's trying to kill people?
No!
It's pointless protest. It's mindless to just go out and start shooting things up. That's going to get us into a civil war, not fix things. Whether it's Ferguson or Austin, black or white, it's bad.
Well, that's only if you think these two things are the same thing. That's only if you think they're the same thing, and they're not.
No, I mean, in both cases, it is bad for a white person to start murdering people. Even though in this case, they did not murder.
Right.
Even though in this case, it was not the cops.
They certainly could have.
Murdering. Oh, God.
So, in this next clip, Alex reads a news report of, I don't know if I put enough of a point on that last clip. The reason I had it in there was, again, just to reinforce that he can't deal with this without changing the goalposts. You know, moving it down.
No, because he's a fan.
Yeah.
He's a fan.
So,
he likes this guy.
He kind of does. And I actually have a fucking damning thing to bring up at the end of
course
this.
He does.
But in order for Alex to cover the news about this even, he kind of has to treat it like it's a joke. And you'll see what I mean immediately.
A white middle-aged gunman, can you imagine if it was a black guy, they wouldn't even say that.
Immediately.
That's how the race media works. A white middle-aged gunman in what appears to be a politically motivated anti-government attack linked to immigration fired more than 100 rounds at buildings in downtown Austin early Friday and tried to set fire to the Mexican consulate before he died of a gunshot wound.
He has to put on a mocking voice just to read the news.
Yeah, what the fuck is that?
That's insane. That's insane. And the things that he's saying are legitimately horrifying. He shot over 100 rounds into these buildings. That's not cool.
No.
That's not good. I mean,
oh, the white supremacists have enslaved black people for hundreds of years. Like, what are you doing starting a civil war? Oh, no. Ooh, you guys think it's so bad to be enslaved. No.
This is about tariffs.
Fuck off.
So, of course, we know that lying just below the surface of all this is, natural fear about the Second Amendment.
Of course, gotta have guns.
It's interesting that that doesn't come up as much as I would have expected in this episode.
You would have thought that he would have talked more about how he's mentally ill. It's not that he's got access to guns.
Well, no problem. Of course, it's sort of like the idea is in place that this is like it's fake and shit like that. It's like a false flag kind of thing.
Of course,
like that's always in
there's
play.
Always there.
It's always in play.
Yeah.
But I would have thought that there would be more fears about the Second Amendment than there actually are.
Because of this white guy doing it, they're going to come after your guns.
Exactly.
And that's what
the globalists want, so they're pushing him out
That's why they always put white people out there.
So there's less of that than I expected, but it does crop up, and here we see it.
And their plan to try to get the Second Amendment.
What's their plan? What's their plan?
Globalists.
Okay.
Is to hype events like this get other unstable people...
Flavor Flav
out of 200 million gun owners, roughly now, gun owners are just taking over the country, lowering crime everywhere we are.
Right.
How do they plan to stop it? With TV shows and dramas and movies where crazy people go, instead of committing suicide, you go shoot up a police station.
Right.
It's like death by cop, suicide by cop. They are hyping this to try to create a chain reaction. And you notice how long I've been warning of this because I could see the programming.
Or you hung out with a bunch of weirdos. who wanted to shoot up police stations.
Or your biggest fans want to shoot up police stations.
Or you go and do speaking engagements and people keep coming up to you and saying, let's go blow up a police building.
Or you say specifically, sometimes it's a good idea to blow up the police building.
Or your entire career is largely built on denying that a guy who blew up a federal building actually did it.
I don't know if he did or not. What's next? He killed RFK? That's crazy.
False flag, and all I need to do is say Elohim City. All of a sudden, I have an argument.
Come on.
I've got an argument.
Think about Ferguson.
Elohim City.
Yeah, that's where Ferguson actually was. That was the original name.
Totally.
Yep. Makes perfect sense.
So, you know, this is just real standard shit. So at this point, Alex,
where are we going?
This clip's weird. It's weird.
Where are we going with this?
This clip is really weird.
All right.
Do you understand that the police are the second most awake group? I've done an analysis of it.
White supremacist.
I don't.
Who's the first most white supremacist? What? The army?
And it might be. It might be the army is number one. He doesn't specify, but also I want to know what awake means.
Right.
I know that he probably means aware of the globalists
white
or something like that. Conceivably, there's parallel.
White supremacists.
But so the police are the second most awake group. I want to know what number one is. Also want to know what number three is and number four.
You know what's crazy? Number three, Elks Club.
Could be.
Yeah.
Shriners.
Yep. Shriners, absolutely.
I would like to see.
All marching bands.
I would like to see.
Yeah.
His, write up. I'd like to see his
what's
hypothesis.
The math? Where's the graph?
I'd love to see that. I'd love to see his data on this.
Yeah, he's got to have an Excel.
I would really, really love just to be able to go over this, peer review it, get to the bottom of exactly what his...
Right. Is this an online poll or?
I mean, he dropped out of junior college, so I assume that he's not big on the scientific method.
Definitely not.
But I don't know.
Well, he's based his entire life on none dare call it a conspiracy, so the scientific method isn't really it.
Shows that he's not a literature or history major.
Frankly, reality is not part of his calculus there.
Not a reality major.
And I've seen the polls. The system is so god-awful scared of the police, it ought to make your head spin, ladies and gentlemen. We are so close to saving this country, and they want to overturn the chessboard because we're winning and start a civil war with staged terror attacks to blame the Liberty Movement. And they're worried that we're watching, so they won't pull those off. So they're going to try to hype it to get mentally ill people to go out and do stuff to create a climate of fear. Statistically, so far, extremely low chance of a patriot shooting cops. Statistically, very low chance of some black inner-city person burning down a building. But the media is trying to hype it like it's all imminent. We need to de-escalate all this, settle down, realize what's really happening.
So there's a lot of interesting stuff going on there at the end. Alex saying that the odds of a patriot shooting a cop being really low is...
It's
cockamamie.
Yeah.
Just do any looking into sovereign citizens and find out how often they shoot a cop because they believe they have the right to travel on roads without a license and then get really upset because the king's men are coming and they don't recognize the authority of admiralty police officers. So what I find really interesting there is that he's like, the odds of a patriot shooting a cop are super low.
Right.
The odds of a black guy burning a building in his neighborhood are super low.
Right.
We're being lied to about this stuff.
Right. It's the reverse.
So what he's done is he's linked.
The odds are that a white person is going to burn down a building and a black person is going to shoot a cop.
Well,
that's the only conclusion to draw from that sentence.
No.
He's making a direct, like.
Not even that.
This is the incorrect comparison for both of these.
Not even that. A white person is most likely to do both of those things.
That's true. That's because absolutely true.
If you count like the sovereign citizens, the free men on the land, and all those types of weird patriot militia types who are real, real against people having authority.
Bonkers crazy.
They shoot most of the cops.
Yeah.
Quite frankly.
Yeah.
And then you get into like, you're right. Those black people aren't the ones who are setting fire to their buildings.
Right.
You see, like, all of the indications of the agent provocateurs that were on the scene in Ferguson, and like police who had infiltrated protest groups and stuff like that.
Yeah, they're great.
You know, you get those sorts of indications. You're like, yeah, maybe it's
my favorite argument there is because we're watching, they can't false flag these anymore. They can't engineer them.
Right, he does that a lot.
Right, we're watching them too closely.
He says that a lot, and then yet false flags keep happening.
No. But this one he's saying, because it was real, they hype it up like it happens all the time.
Oh. Yeah.
So, his argument is, they can't do it themselves because we do it for them all the time.
That is kind of part of the argument he's making, which isn't strong.
That's not a good argument.
It's not good. None of this is good.
No.
So now, in this next clip, we get what's really not good.
What's that?
Is this reported man in Austin, Friday morning at 2:20 in the morning,
can't even
49-year-old Larry Stephen McQuilliams, shot up the police department and the Mexican consulate and a bank and a federal building. And the media, who I don't believe, but it could be true, you know, says he was basically mad about open borders. I don't think that's legitimate. I think that makes the law-abiding citizens that are against totally open borders and Obama acting as a dictator look illegitimate. He's a white guy, by the way. I'm not siding against him because he's white.
Interesting that he keeps bringing that up and keep being weird about it. So the,
he's, first off, this reported man, I don't even know if he's real.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if any of this happened. I don't trust the media. They're saying it's true.
Right.
So I'm going to take it on face value. And they're saying that he was mad about open borders, which who knows about that? I mean, yeah. He shot up the Mexican consulate.
He tried to set it on fire.
Mm-hmm. But it does, that could be anything. Could be anything, Dan.
You know, you know who had a shockingly similar take on the situation to Alex Jones?
Who?
About the idea that, like, this is just going to make people who are against open borders look bad.
Can't imagine anybody.
Stormfront.
What?
Stormfront.
Why would they say that?
Stormfront had identical talking points to Alex Jones.
Mm.
Here's one user named Volodymyr. Quote, I had a feeling that he was a white man.
Is that like a portmanteau between Voldemort and Vladimir?
It's possible. But no, there's too many Y's in it.
Oh, okay.
It's probably some weird Norse thing.
He who must not be...
I don't know. I had a feeling that he was a white man, and you could be sure that the hostile aliens who really control the country are going to use this against us. So that's one of them. That's one, one quote. Half-cocked attacks on the part of an angry white man is a dream come true for any Jewish or darky gun grabber, an agent of genocide against whites. The putrid smell of Zionist or Mexican false flag against whites and the U.S. Constitution hangs heavy in the air here. A guy named Father Odin chimed in.
You know what that quote implies, though? That good attacks were done by us.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know they're half-cocked because they were attributed to a white man.
I think that's
They're good if
I see what you're hanging on to there, and I think that's...
I'm just saying.
Nah,
rhetorically, that's a bad argument.
No.
That just suggests that...
I think you're holding on to the wrong piece of it.
All right.
So, good,
because I don't want to engage with him saying darky.
It's not good.
Yeah.
So this other guy said, quote, once the media picks up on this story, we will once again hear nonstop about how all whites are racist, anti-government, violent threats to America.
H-W-H-I-T-E.
The overwhelming sense on a lot of their posts are that this is just it's a very convenient way to demonize people who don't like immigration.
So convenient.
So convenient.
It's like they can't find any other examples.
Yeah.
It's like, come on, guys, put together a list. Maybe put together a statistic of all of these crimes that have been committed and develop some sort of pattern.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, you guys can't do that. These are false flags. Okay, so when you do that, I get it. But they're all false flags.
Uh-huh.
Duh.
Yeah. So, you know, that's once again, not, not the wildest coincidence we've ever seen. Certainly seems to be something we see on a fairly regular basis that Alex Jones's rhetoric matches up with, literal, Nazis.
Yep.
White supremacists.
Yep.
Who hide on their site, I don't know.
Huh.
We have one more clip left, and this one will give you whiplash.
Oh, boy.
They're the enemy. And that very enemy is pushing all this multiculturalism and infighting and rioting and all the rest of it because they want to wreck the society to have the feds come in as the saviors. We're getting some of your calls like back up Chicago. On the screen there. I'll go to you in a moment. I didn't want to just run a Black Friday or Cyber Monday special. I wanted to run the mother of all specials across the board. High-quality colloidal silver with its great antibiotic history.
Great.
All right. No. That one's...
We've been in 2009 too long, man. We haven't heard some good ad pivots.
That was an ad pivot.
We are back.
That was good shit.
The enemy is multiculturalism.
2009, Alex, had nothing.
Nothing.
Damn, was that a good ad pivot.
The enemy is multiculturalism.
Also, the enemy is Black Friday, which is why I didn't just want to run a Black Friday special.
Nah.
I'm not about that mindless shit.
Mm.
This is a quality consumer special.
You almost accidentally said equality there, and that's absolutely not what InfoWars is about. No.
You know what's weird? He actually just bumped up the MSRP, and it's the same fucking special that you've had the entire
weird.
Time.
Weird. Oh, also, it was brought to my attention, and this is interesting. FortifiedSupply.com doesn't exist anymore. Alex Jones's weird fake website that he was using and did not file the correct paperwork
right.
in order to run as a subsidiary that we called him out on, now there's a new website that if you go to fortifiedsupply.com, it links to and forwards through to InfoWarsDefense.com, which I have not yet actually figured out if that's a legal name for him to do business under,
God
but I suspect it's not also not.
The one time we actually discover a crime, nobody pays attention and he just gets away with it. That's disappointing.
Yep. Oh, well.
I forgot whenever we discovered a crime and everybody was just like, we prefer talking about when Anthony Bourdain does it.
Isn't it funny when Alex says something stupid? It is.
Yeah.
He also commits crimes.
Yeah.
Anyway. This was a sad night for Austin and, you know, it could have been a lot worse. And, thankfully no one really got hurt except for this McWilliams guy.
Right.
But
the pride of Mexico.
Big shout out to Austin, Texas. We will be there on Friday. Very excited to go down and see the Mexican consulate. Check out the remodel.
Remember the consulate, actually, is our rally cry. All the policy wonks out there, remember the consulate.
I will play the part of Colonel Travis, and I will hold down the fort at the Mexican consulate. So yeah, we'll be there.
You know what's crazy? I actually do have a group of they were former Civil War guys, but now they're McWilliams reenactors.
Okay.
We go down there once a year. We reenact the whole thing.
You got to try and shoot a horse.
Yeah,
that's part of it.
Rough.
Yeah,
it's rough. It's a weird day for everybody.
So will not be a weird day. It's Friday when we're there. It'll be
nice
a great
transition.
Time. We'll have a good time, fun show.
Friday doors at 10, doors at 9, 10 p.m. Beerland. You guys have heard this a million times before. I don't know. We're bad at marketing.
The show is going to be, like, legitimately. I've had a roadblock in terms of doing episodes this week because I'm so excited to talk about the episode that I've got for Friday.
I'm so terrified and nervous.
It's going to be the best.
It's going to be incredible.
So we'll see you all there. If you can't make it, we still love you and appreciate it. Our website is knowledgefight.com. You can find all sorts of information and past episodes and write-ups and stuff like that there.
Especially stuff about Fortified Supply.
No, well, yeah. I'm in the non-existent website now.
You can also follow us on Twitter.
Correct.
At knowledge_fight.
Yes, and we are on Facebook.
That's where we are. You can go to iTunes. You can leave a review.
Please do. Also, yep, that's about it.
That's pretty much it. That's all we got.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I was not heard last time, it is still your turn tonight.
There's no one else on this episode.
It's just Alex McWilliams and a caller that you refuse to play.
All right,
you're going to have to take from the real world, Dan.
The Ukraine in 1935.
Wait, I thought they were the good guys.
I don't know. It was just the first thing I saw when I looked at my screen.
What's a bad revolution?
What's a bad revolution?
What's a bad revolution?
Dance, dance. Go fuck yourself, dance, dance, revolution.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.